The second question of the day is, who is Jesus? Now, many people throughout the world believe that Jesus existed historically. They believe that there was a man named Jesus. It's a common name even today, especially within the Latino community. But there, many people believe that a historical man named Jesus was born in the first century in the Palestine area, born to a woman named Mary, that this man walked the earth for about 30-some years, and that he was killed by the Roman government on charges of insurrection. Many people believe this. Even the prominent atheist, Richard Dawkins, believes that Jesus historically lived, that this person existed on the face of the earth. Many of the world's religions believe that Jesus did live. Some of them believe that he was a great prophet, others that he was divine. Now, even in our churches, if we go from one church to another, from one denomination to another, we find different understandings of who Jesus was and who he is today. And I got a little list of some examples of who people think Jesus is from a pastor named Kevin DeYoung. And some of the ideas that he had to share, I think, will help us understand a little bit where I'm going today. But he said that one of the Jesuses that he sees in the world today is the self-help Jesus. This is the Jesus that wants us all to have better jobs, better marriages, better families, better lives, better homes and gardens. There is the Republican Jesus who wants us to have lower taxes and to have high family values. There is the Democrat Jesus that is against big business and is for healthcare reform. There is the hippie Jesus that walks around from town to town, probably in sandals or bare feet, talking about peace and love, man. There's the guru Jesus, who also talks about peace, but peace within. And then we have, of course, the touchdown Jesus, which many people pray for, especially come Super Bowl time. No. National championship time. I'm not sure why. No, bite my tongue. This is the touchdown Jesus, the Jesus that we pray to, that our favorite athlete can run faster, jump higher, catch that touchdown pass. The NASCAR Jesus, I haven't heard of that one, but I'm sure he exists. And finally, the revolutionary Jesus. This is the Jesus that teaches us how to stick it to the man, to get back at empire and powers that are above us. We all see these Jesuses within the churches in the United States, right? We've heard people emphasize these different aspects of Jesus. And to be entirely honest, all of these aspects of Jesus have biblical foundations. Jesus does show these attributes at times during his ministry. But I like the way that DeYoung ties up his introduction to who Jesus is when he says this. And then there's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, not just another prophet, not just another rabbi, not just another wonder worker. He was the one they had been waiting for, the Son of David and Abraham's chosen seed, the one to deliver us from captivity, the goal of the Mosaic law, Yahweh in the flesh, the one to be establish God's reign and rule, the one to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim good news to the poor, the Lamb of God come to take the sins of the world. I'll wait for an amen on that one. Amen? Okay. That Jesus is the man that we have come here today to worship, to celebrate his life, death, and resurrection. Well, today I want us to take a little bit of time to explore Peter's confession, what Peter says about Jesus. I think we need to understand who this Jesus is, because this Jesus is to be our foundation as a church. So as I usually like to do, before we look at today's text, we need to back up a little bit. And maybe I need to get one of those beepers. It sounds like a truck backing up. That'd be my thing. Every week whenever we back up to look at the context, I'd have a beep, beep, beep. So let's back up in our scriptures just a little bit to see what happened to lead up to this place so that we have a better understanding of why Jesus is saying the things that he's saying. So if we go back to the beginning of chapter 16, Jesus is doing ministry like he normally did, and he's confronted by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they come to Jesus and they demand that he gives them a sign. They say, "Jesus, show us that you are who you say you are. Prove to us that you are truly a man of God from God." And Jesus really wasn't in the business of proving himself to people. So he said to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that no sign would be given to them except for the sign of Jonah, that he would die and then 3 days later he would be raised from the dead. Hallelujah. And I think that's a pretty big sign, if you ask me. So Jesus is kind of like sitting back and saying, "You want a sign? Give me a little bit of time, and you are going to get a sign. You are going to get a sign unlike any other sign, even greater than Jonah surviving in the belly of the whale for 3 days. I'm going to come back from the dead, and you will get your sign that I am who I say I am." So Jesus leaves the company of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he's kind of having this conversation with his disciples. And he tells his disciples to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The yeast. We have heard that metaphor before. Jesus uses the metaphor of yeast to describe the way that his kingdom will spread on earth. Yeast self-replicates. Yeast makes more yeast, which makes more yeast. And Jesus is now using the metaphor of yeast and saying that the lies of the Pharisees, the teachings that they are giving and that they are saying about Jesus, can also spread like yeast. So he's saying, beware of this. Be careful. Watch out. People are saying things about me that aren't true, and those can spread like yeast. So it comes to our text for this morning, and we find Jesus asking a question of his disciples.